Hey cousin, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal, as always, is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. Oh boy, there's been an uptick in subscribers on YouTube and on podcast platforms. You know, I'm still not, you know, hitting like crazy numbers, but the numbers are huge to me. Okay. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has left a comment, left a like, subscribed, followed wherever you are listening, left reviews on Apple Podcasts. I finally figured out how to see them. So thank you. I appreciate all of you for just taking the time out of your day to do that, for just sending me some good juju. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And as we continue on with this episode, I hope we keep having a good time together. So if you're new, welcome. And if you're coming back, thank you. And I hope you stick around for a little longer. Okay, so we are in the fourth episode of the third season. Wild, right? Of course, within a couple of four episodes, so if you look at each look at the episodes and you break them into fours, there's always a folklore episode. So cousin, this is the folklore episode for this batch. We're going to end out the month of February on some folklore. I love folklore episodes because I think that there is a lot that we can glean from the stories that we share and the stories that have been passed on from person to person in our culture. This particular episode, however, I am going to debut a new author for our library, and it's very modern hoodoo. It's not like the traditional folklore that you're used to. I would even go so far to say it's more short story than folklore. I think you're going to enjoy their work. They are newer to the game and like to use storytelling as a way to convey, share, enjoy in spiritual work, personal lore, and some life lessons they've learned. The new author that is debuting this episode is Coco Savage. Yep. It's me. I'm the new author. I'm going to read to you guys a Coco original. I'm kind of hype. I got to calm down before I read it or else it's going to sound horrible. But right now I'm like bouncing in my chair. I don't know if you can hear it. Okay. So normally when I introduce a new author to our library, I like to give a little short bio. I don't know why, but I got a tickle out of the idea of having to write a bio for myself. Right? I don't think it's funny. The idea of it just kind of made me giggle. So here it is. Here it goes. Coco's bio says, from a young age, Coco Savage has always told stories. She started by keeping notebooks of stories through middle school and high school. She even got in trouble once for writing down some sexy stories. But most of the time, those stories detailed people with extraordinary magical abilities or wealth beyond imagination or just drama to keep the pages turning. In her junior year of high school, she wrote her first short play and actually saw it performed on stage. She even placed third in a short story competition before going off to college to study writing for film and television. Somewhere along the way, Coco stopped writing, and the blank screen of a Word document just taunted her in her sleep and in her waking life. She just couldn't fill the page. The muse left her. But eventually, she made her way back to storytelling with the power of hoodoo and what our shared ancestors left behind. So for a full year, she shared cultural classics on her podcast, Coco Conjure. Thank you guys for listening. But it was only a matter of time that the shared ancestors that we have inspired her, and the muse, the great spirit of creativity, was able to bless her with a story of her own to tell. Okay, so, you know, I'm not as accomplished as the other folklorists I read from on this channel. I didn't go out and collect this stuff, you know, but for the first time in a long time, I feel really good, at peace, excited about something that I've written. And I promised myself this year that I would push myself to get back into the flow of writing original works. I swear this won't be an every month thing. Like, this isn't just going to be me, you know, telling you guys made up stories I made up. But I did write something I'm really proud of. And for the first folklore episode of season 3, I just want to share it with you all. So without further ado, I read to you Meeting at the Crossbones Bar by me, your cousin, Coco Savage. Take a listen to the tale, and at the end, like we always do in folklore episodes, we'll break it down together. Late at night, while the moon held high court amongst the glittering stars, a half-drunk woman, the people called her Ro, stood outside the Crossbones Bar. She had to catch many a train and other transport to get here. The Crossbones stood at the center of the crossroads that defines the imaginary line of major cardinal points of the country. It stood in the middle of the road, in the most center part of the land. It was a seedy place, the bar, dilapidated, being held together by shoestring and hope. But the place was hopping. Even from outside, Ro could hear the twang of a guitar, the bat-boom-ching of a drum, and the heavy ha-has of the crowd inside. She could even smell the salty sweat and the sweet booze as she shuffled closer to the bar's entrance. No respectable woman of high caliber would be caught dead walking past a place like this, let alone going inside. This could not be the right place, though with the effort it took her to get here, she better be in the right place. She just couldn't fathom her prim and proper grandmother coming to a bar like this, or her recently dead, very bougie uncle coming here. Just to be sure it was, in fact, the right place, Ro pulled out her old family pocket Bible from her huge shoulder bag. She kissed the leather cover where her family name was inscribed, then flipped to the notes section in the front of the book. A single lock from her uncle's head served as a bookmark. It was a page she looked at often since he passed, as the worn edges and tea stains would attest. And there, circled on the well-detailed map that led her to this crossroads, was a simple symbol of an X made out of bones. Ro looked up, and etched into the bar's door was the same symbol. The same X made of bones. Unbelievable, but yeah, this was the right place. It took liquid courage to get her here, and that liquid courage made her head dizzy and pushed her feet to this door, but it wasn't enough to tip her past the threshold. She looked back down at the Bible in her hand and traced the map work on the page as she mentally looked for a way out of this particular choice. Instead, in the margin of the map, she found an inscription written by an ancestor she never met and had long passed. It said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up everlasting doors, and the King of Roads shall meet you." It was a play on Psalm 24, verse 7, a chapter and verse Ro learned at the foot of her grandmother in her childhood, and it served as a reminder to her purpose. So Ro did what the verse said, lifted her head, and opened the door. Before she could get two steps past the threshold, the live music rolled across the floor and slapped her in the face. Loud, raucous laughter filled the front room of this two-room building. The people swayed and swirled in a synchronized jig as the band played to bring the heavens down to earth. Ro navigated to the bar in the back of the room and collected bruises for her efforts. It was like the people could not see her as she meandered through the crowd, or at most didn't care she was there. Once she made it to her destination, she pulled herself atop a stool, placed her pocket Bible on the bar top, righted her bag on her shoulder, and signaled to the bartender. "Two whiskey glasses and the King of Roads, please." The bartender eyed her up and down, taking in her oversized bag and pocket Bible. The woman was dressed to disappear and was not adorned with silver or iron or religious icons. Even her head was uncovered. She was bare and out of place, and for a thing like the bartender, she was easy pickings. The bartender slid two whiskey glasses to her and smiled so wide his face was all teeth. "Ooh, you found him, baby. I'm the king of the roads. What is it you want?" "You aren't the king of the roads, but I sure would appreciate it if you could get him for me," Ro retorted with a snort and a giggle. "And say, little girl, how do you know I ain't the king of roads?" He leaned over the bar to smooth away her hair behind her ear, but the Bible between them made the act uncomfortable for him. He played it off by using a nearby rag to wipe up an imaginary spill. Ro, not amused, reached into her bag and pulled out four silver dimes that were older than her. Hell, they were older than her mama. They were older than her mama's mama. She put them in the bartender's hand, closed hers over his so the dimes were in his fist, then slapped his hand so hard he dropped the dimes and stepped back. Four dimes hit the bar top, and all of them came up tails. "Well, look at that. The dimes say you ain't the king of roads, so I guess you ain't the king of roads," Ro said. "But if you would show me to the king of roads, I'd appreciate it." The bartender wrinkled his nose. The girl was more prepared than he realized. He slung his bar rag over his shoulder and stared her down a bit, just to try to make her uneasy. When she didn't shudder, twitch, or flinch, he nodded to the door next to the bar that led to the back room. Ro gave the bartender a big smile so her face was all teeth, then grabbed the glasses she asked for and sought out the King of Roads. Once in the back, Ro was greeted by a slim, pale woman. She was veiled in a black and purple semi-sheer cloth that went from crown to big toe. She couldn't make out any facial details, so the woman could have been any age. What was distinct was the earrings. At least, Ro thought they were earrings. They were so huge that they almost looked like two more heads sitting on her shoulders. Just the sight of the woman gave Ro goose skin. Clearly, this was some divine being. Ro tipped her head in greeting. "Good evening. Fine night we have here." "Oh, yes, a fine night indeed. What brings you to my bar?" the veiled goddess said. Her voice tickled a strange part of Ro's brain, and the sound made Ro shift on her feet a bit. "Oh, okay, I'm here to speak to someone, but I'm not sure you are that someone."
"Oh, my sweet, sweet Ro, I am who you seek."
The veiled goddess watched as Ro placed the glasses on the desk that sat in the middle of the room and placed her bag next to it. Ro looked around for a place to sit, but there wasn't one. And the goddess, in her benevolence, with a flick of her wrist, poof, zoom, bluff, materialized a comfy leather chair. Ro nodded her head in thanks and sat in the chair with the Bible on her lap. At the sight of the Bible, the goddess tensed, not because she was uncomfortable in the presence of another divine being's holy text, or even angry at its presence. It just was odd. Ro caught on to the slight body language and didn't know what to make of it.
Should I put my book away?" Ro queried.
No. It looks old and worn, like an heirloom. With the power it carries, it's a great defense mechanism against the things in the other room."
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to please you either." The goddess snorted.
"It's of no consequence to me."
Ro shifted till she was perched on the edge of the chair. If this book, this family Bible, is of no consequence to you, then respectfully, goddess, you are not who I seek. You are not the King of Rhodes. The statement was matter of fact, but not offensive. I don't understand. You seek the power of the crossroads, of magic and manifestation. You seek to traverse the unseen. In a manner of speaking, yes. Then I am who you seek, young Ro. I gather the power of the crossroads, and I bestow this power to my followers. Ro pulled out her silver dimes and politely offered them to the veiled goddess. Then, respectfully, goddess, I ask you to prove it. Without hesitation, the veiled goddess threw the dimes onto the desk between them, each dime coming up heads. See? The veiled goddess laughed. Your power coins say yes, so the answer is yes. Ro settled back into the chair and smiled. The veiled one picked up the dimes and handed them back to Ro before settling into a comfortable perch on the desk. Her veil hid her faces, but she was confident that she now had a new student, a cunning student, one who already knew a few tricks of the trade since she was able to get past the things outside, and one with lineage, if the worn-out family Bible was anything to go by. She was more than happy to welcome this new puppy into her pack. Now that we've settled that, tell me, young Ro, what is it that you seek? Well, Ro started as she put away her dimes. What I seek is the King of Rhodes. Sure, you know what they call me. Thrilling is your show of magic. There is no doubt that you are a spirit of the crossroads, an old one even, given how the dimes recognized you with all four heads. Yes, I am very old indeed. Indeed, indeed, yes, but you are not the King of Rhodes. You see, the King of Rhodes gave the first of my ancestors to step on these shores, this very book, this very Bible. According to these pages, each of us who seek the King of Rhodes must present this to show our authenticity. Not because it's a Bible, no, no, but so the King of Rhodes can see the work between the pages and the margins, know who's written in it and who's touched it. Now, I could be wrong, goddess. I am new to all of this, and the dimes, we don't know each other as well yet, but I would guess that if I handed you this book, you might not be able to see the work between the pages and the margins and who's written in it. Ro held out the book, a silent offer for this goddess to prove again that she was who she said she was. But the goddess did not move. Ro waited a moment longer before nodding her head and placing the Bible back in her lap. She sighed heavily. That's what I thought. The goddess took in the disappointment on Ro's face. I may not be the King of Rhodes, but I am a powerful crossroad goddess. I can help you grow your magic. I can teach you how to traverse the untraversable. That may be true, and perhaps in another lifetime, that's what I wanted, but that's not what I want now. And as little as I understand, the cost I would owe you for such blessings, I know would be too steep a price for me to pay. That's a shame, the veiled goddess said. There was so much we could have done together, so great you and I would have been. With respect to you, goddess, I have no doubt, Ro responded as she gathered her things and moved to the door, defeat in her shoulders. But That's not why I'm here. And I'm afraid the one I seek might just be a rumor at this point. Before Ro could open the door, a tall, black-furred man appeared from the shadows. In his hand was a silver panther head cane, and on his head was a bejeweled hat with goat horns sticking out of each side. He had one set of large cat eyes, and above them, where his eyebrows should be, were two sets of smaller eyes blinking inward instead of up and down. They looked like diamonds on his head. There were no lips on his face, just a cat maw. He was dressed in a long wool coat and a three-piece suit, and cat paws were where his feet and shoes should have been. Curled around his leg was a thin tail. At least, Ro thought it was a tail. He was unnatural and beautiful. "Thank you, my lady," the mysterious man spoke. The rasp in his voice and the way his mouth moved gave the impression that his body was not meant to speak at all. "But after all this trouble she's gone to, I should at least grant her an audience." The veiled goddess huffed.
"If you say so, ancient one. But, young Ro, if you change your mind about my offer, you need only say a prayer."
And with that, the goddess was gone, purple and black smoke filling the space she once occupied. The mysterious figure guided Ro back to the leather chair with cat-like grace, and then gloom, ploof, room. He changed the landscape of the room. No longer were they in a dilapidated bar. No, they now sat in the middle of the crossroads with no walls to box them in. The only thing familiar from before was the leather chair and the desk. Then with a plow flip sloom, he materialized a high back plush velvet chair for himself on the opposite side of the desk where Ro sat. He walked over to it, sat cross-legged with his cane leaning against the arm of the chair. The man held out his paw for Ro. Before she could fish out her dimes, they were already in his hands. He cast them on the desk, and with a flick of his wrist, two said heads, two said tails. Ro sighed in relief at the confirmation as the man hissed with quiet laughter. Finally, finally, the dimes say uncertainty. Maybe. The path ahead unclear. This person, being ancient one before her, was the king of roads, the king of all crossroads. He was the gatekeeper that unlocked and locked paths on a universal scale, regardless of culture. Hell, he was the universal path. Everything before them was uncertain until choices were made, and only the king of roads, this devil cat thing at the crossroads, could see what was behind and what lay ahead. Ro had to take a second to calm herself. The rumors were true. The book was right. After taking a breath, she positioned the whiskey glasses on the desk. She reached into her huge shoulder bag and pulled out homemade skillet-baked honey-moist cornbread and small batch artisan whiskey that promised to be just as sweet as the cornbread. Then she lowered her head and poured a glass for the King of Roads. She flipped to the notes section in her pocket Bible and recited the words a long dead ancestor had left for her to find. "Spirit of the crossroads, older than the tricksters and the gods, that which is the path itself, I come to your dwelling place. I give these offerings of my people so you may be appeased." The crossroad king licked his maw and took a swig.
"Ooh, yeah. My favorite kind. Offering accepted. And might I say, it's been a long, long while since your line sought me out. Normally, they reach for the cultural divine, the gods and the goddesses."
The Crossroad King put down his empty whiskey glass and started in on the cornbread. Ro refilled his glass and poured a little for herself. Yes, in the book there is mention of divine beings like that veiled goddess or even some more from the motherland, but I stopped following gods a long, long time ago.
So are you saying I'm not a god?
Ro went still. The Crossroad King munched slowly and waited for Ro to answer because he did require an answer. It was a while before she spoke, her thoughts slowly knitting together. I am new to all this, King of Rhodes, but from what this book says, from what I understand, you seem less a god and more a necessary force for the world, the universe, to just keep going.
Good answer. You understand who you seek. So tell me, why are you here?
Ro went still again and paused, and just like before, the Crossroad King waited. Somewhere along the way, Crossroad King, I think I died.
You look alive to me, and I see the fork in your roads clearly. You have a lot more living to do.
No, I mean, I was broken. I was wandering through the world like a living dead. And then I lost my last blood relative, a great uncle. Death took him, I don't know, suddenly.
Yes, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you, Crossroad King. But my uncle, the one who left me this Bible, he was so full of life. The world was his playground and his spirit was immeasurable. And when I got this Bible with the rest of his things, I started to study it. Not the biblical stuff. I have studied biblical stuff all my life, but the words between the pages and in the notes. I realized how he was able to live so well with so little.
And you want what your Uncle Remus had.
The Crossroad King pulled a handkerchief out of thin air and dusted away the cornbread crumbs before reaching for more whiskey. Ro was sure she never said her uncle's name, but she wasn't shocked that this spirit knew it.
That makes sense, he continued. The path you are currently on is, dismal, depressing. I want to cry just seeing it unfold in front of me.
All six of his eyes blinked rapidly as if to get the vision of her dull life from his head. Ro took a breath and asked the question we all want to know. May I ask, how does it end for me? Where does my path end? The King of Rhodes focused all six eyes back on her. They all went wide till the pupils looked blown out, like he was traversing her path in his mind. He straightened himself on his chair, and solemnly he said,
"It all ends the same way, even for a thing like me, and you know that. Your Uncle Remus, he knew that too. The path itself is way more interesting if you ask me."
You're right, Ro said, a part of her glad that he didn't tell her how she met her demise. The spirit relaxed again.
Of course I'm right. So tell me and make sure you are clear. What is it that you want from me?
King of Roads, Crossroad King, I only want what is mine to have. I want every single one of my potential blessings to find me with ease when I call for them. The Crossroad King sat back in his chair and drummed his claws along the whiskey glass.
So, you don't want to be a famous musician or actor?
Oh, Lord, no. I am not built for that kind of attention.
Mm-hmm. You don't want billions of dollars and fancy mansions and men falling at your feet? Or women falling at your feet?
More money, more problems. Isn't that how the song goes? And I've never seen love work out, so I don't need that either.
You don't want the secrets to the universe. I can tell you so much because I can see so much.
Even if you told me what those secrets are, King of Roads, I wouldn't understand them or be able to use them. All I'm asking for, Crossroads King, is that you do not hinder my blessings from finding me. That when I cast lots or pull cards, you show me the best path for me. And when I come to your dwelling place, you acknowledge me and let me do my work. The Crossroad King stood and walked around the desk to get to Ro. His cane gave soft taps with each step.
This path you've chosen will not be easy. It will not be paved with gold or fame or obsessive love. And you will have to do all the work for yourself because it won't give you insane spiritual power inherently either. But my young Monroe Devereaux, it will fill your cup.
The Crossroad King held out his paw.
Let me see your book.
Ro handed it over, and the moment it touched the Crossroad King's clawed hand, it grew longer and thicker. The Bible parts were there, but now it was in fragments, incantations really, that would be useful as she discovered her work. Blank pages, lots of blank pages were added, and the previous notes and lessons were still there, but now their pages and ink were renewed.
For now, your roads are clear and your blessings in reach.
The Crossroad King handed Ro back the book.
But this is not free. It is true, you ask little of me considering my power, but even this small act has a price. In turn for clear roads, deep insight, and use of my dwelling place, I ask this.
The Crossroad King materialized a pen and handed it to Ro. He waited patiently for her to open it to the first blank page, and then he listed his demands.
On the shortest day and the longest night, you will prepare a bath, an oil, and a powder made from my herbs, Abre Camino, Vervain, Five Finger Grass, Orange Peels, and Holy Tears. You will set a table for me in your home. Using the powder, create an X on the table. And at each point of the X, you will set a light anointed in my oil. For 9 nights, you will prepare your body in my bath. Crown your head with my oil and sit at the table and commune with me. I'm going to give you a skeleton key. You're going to take this skeleton key, anoint it with my oil, and wear it as a token, proof that you are a child of the Crossroads. These acts will invoke a part of me into you. You will continue to give me offerings of cornbread and whiskey, and you will eat the meal in my name. And on the 9th day, you go to my nearest dwelling place. And you say these words of Isaiah. See, I am doing a new thing. New it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. When you go to my dwelling place, not just on these nights, but anytime, you will not call out my name. You will not say your name. You will ask for nothing. You will just declare your power with these words, and you will know that I have heard you, and that your roads are open for another year, and that your work will be done. Failing to perform this will take away your rights to the crossroads and the flow of my magic therein.
Ro finished writing all of what was said and read it over. Satisfied, she closed the book and put it away. The Crossroad King gestured for her to stand. He pulled out a skeleton key on a silver necklace from his breast pocket and he draped it around her neck. Then he touched his head to hers, took a deep breath, and waited for Ro to do the same. Just for a moment, they breathed each other's air. Then he went back to his spot behind the desk in his high back chair and took another swig of whiskey and another munch of cornbread. Ro, poor girl, stood there awkwardly, unsure what to do next. Then it dawned on her. She bowed her head in reverence and said, "Thank you, King of Rhodes, for granting my petition."
"Mm-hmm. You are more than welcome, my young Monroe Devereaux. Now, you must set off on your journey and cultivate the power necessary to wield your blessings. And Monroe Devereaux."
Yes, Crossroad King. It was still weird to have her whole name said like that, but what was she going to do? Tell him, "Just call me Ro"? Somehow it seemed inappropriate.
"I suggest you learn quick, because your roads are windy and wild."
The path is wild and wicked, huh? I hope you guys enjoyed my tale, because I enjoyed writing it. And I do have other stories featuring Ro the Root Lady. It feels awkward breaking down my own work like I would other folk stories, but I'm going to try. We'll see how this goes. Maybe the next time I write my own, I'll just let it stand on its own and I'm not going to break it down. But for this one, I'm going to try. So this tale is very much about open road work, or getting to the point of opening your roads. And I've belabored that a lot, so I'm not going to talk about that too much. There's many past episodes where I talk about the open road work I do, why I do it, etc. and so forth. And at the end of this, I gave a very truncated explanation of the open road work that I do. And through the story, I hope you can understand a bit more fully as to why I do it, what that's like for me. And maybe that can inspire something, a ritual you do yearly in your own practice. It's also a tale, though, just about the crossroads in general. I think across the diaspora, across traditional and modern hoodoo, wherever we land on this country, we all work a little differently at the crossroads. I'm in this group where one cousin will go to a crossroad. They describe that they go to the crossroad just to do divination work. Personally, I leave things, or I, you know, send things out at a crossroad. I don't try to stick around for long periods of time when I do work, unless, of course, it just is crossroad work and then I have no choice. But the crossroads is more than just a place to throw bones and leave petitions or send out curses, right? It's a place of spiritual meeting. And there are a lot of spirits at the crossroads. One thing to keep in mind when you go is that you can't just offer whiskey, say your name, and hope you're talking to the right spirit. If you're going there to commune with a particular spirit, be that Hecate, Papa Legba, whoever, you need to make sure that's exactly who you're communing with. Because any spirit with a little more power than you or a little more know-how than you can say they are who you want them to be. It's a place of trickery, right? There may be cultural protocols that you need to follow. Like, I'm not just going to walk outside and start calling on Papa Legba, light a candle at the crossroads. I would never, right? Even though Hecate is not a part of a closed practice, like any spiritualist, any witch can invoke her. I wouldn't just go there and start calling out her name either. Right. Like, I would want to know the cultural context. How did the people who originally worshipped her, how did they do it? How did they call upon her blessing, etc.? Like, there's more than you need to know. And there may be some divination tools that you want to bring, so that way you know who you're talking to, like Ro and her silver dimes. But you have to know what it is you're calling and how you're going to identify them, be that cultural or otherwise. My approach is similar to what the Crossroads King said at the end. I wrote, you will not call out my name. You will not say your name. You will ask for nothing. You will just declare your power with these words, and you will know that I heard you. Right. So I go, I do the work and whatever else is needed, and I leave. Right. And I go home. I won't leave my name. I don't call out for Universal Spirit of the Crossroad or King of Roads, because the Crossroads is a place for tricksters. There's always a spirit like the bartender who will consider you easy pickings. So go do your work and then go home. The next thing are the Bible verses, right? Isaiah 43:19, that is recited at the crossroads, and Psalm 24 verse 7, that is the verse on the map that I reworked, that pushes Ro to go into the Crossbones bar. These verses are not uncommon in doing open road work or doing work at the crossroads. And I just so happen to utilize them in this way at the crossroads. I'm sure you could probably utilize them outside of that, but that's normally how it's done, is in open road work or crossroad work for those two verses. One thing that is absolutely real about hoodoo is that you don't have to follow the Christian God in order to utilize the Bible, as demonstrated in how Ro's family Bible transforms into something more usable for her. The idea that perhaps with her uncle, it was a Bible. Perhaps with whoever had it before her uncle, it was something, I don't know, a Quran. Like, it could have been anything, right? What's more important than the Bible itself is the lessons, the magic that we pass from person to person in our folk magic. And then in that case, the book becomes it's just a book of spells and incantations, right? It's a book of power that, you know, utilizes the first conjurers, your Moses, your Jesus, your whoever else in there that you want to idealize. They're in this book. They are conjurers like we are conjurers. They say these psalms. They've written these words. These words are prayed. They have been, you know, utilized in work, not just in hoodoo, but in many approaches to faith. So the words themselves hold power, right? So however you would like to utilize the Bible or utilize just Christianity, Christian tactics, teachings in general, I can definitely respect. And in this case, Ro is very much like me in that it's not about the Bible itself. It's about it's not about the message of God or anything like that. I know that sounds blasphemous, but it's not for me. It's more about the power therein, right? Because we're told power. Then, of course, lastly, there is my idea of universal powers, which is, it's a me thing. I don't think it's a hoodoo thing. I don't think it's an occultist thing. I think it's a me thing. I've said before that I do not follow any particular divine force. Instead, I try to do my work and then fuel it with a universal spirit. I try to invoke that spirit a bit you know, into myself, into the work I do. And because it's a universal spirit, because these are just forces of nature that keep the universe running, I do not worship them because they are not gods. It does not matter what I do. They will always do what they've been doing, right? The question becomes, do I know how to tap into that power? Do I know how to utilize that power in my work? I'm not working with or learning from, you know, because sometimes you'll hear, oh, yes, Oshun is my mentor, or, oh, yes, you know, I work with Thoth. All of that valid. I'm not saying it's not. All of that is valid. That's just not how I work. So I'm not working with or learning from these forces. To me, my power comes from me. It's informed by my family and my shared ancestors with you all and our shared lore. And I work within Hoodoo, within our folk magic system. And I try to utilize the spirits in our system the best way I can understand them. So, you have the universal spirit of the crossroads, but in Hoodoo, it's the devil at the crossroad, right? Normally, when we talk about the devil at the crossroad, or we talk about crossroad contracts, we aren't talking about actual Satan. We're talking about this folk spirit of this place that can grant us power to change our fate, whether that's to become the best blues musician or whether that's the ability to work in the space. So, yeah, if I had to take a lesson from this, because normally when we do folklore episodes, I go, if I had to take a lesson. So if I had to take a lesson from this story, my takeaway would be the road is long and hard. Right. And the first thing we should do is learn how to cultivate our blessings, learn how to call them and make sure that they can reach us. For sure. However that looks like to you, make sure that you've paved the way for your blessings to reach you. All right. I am finishing this up at 7:30 on the Saturday before this is published. This was a rough one for me because I took my time and outlined the story, wrote the story, edited the story. It took a lot of work for me. But we made it to the end, and I still feel good about what I wrote. I still feel good about sharing it with you. It still feels weird having to break it down, but that's whatever. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know, though, that you deserve the world. Sometimes we search for power. Sometimes we search for blessings outside of ourselves, outside of what we can do. We try to outsource that to a higher power, and that's valid and fair. People have been doing that since people have been peopling. But I want to remind you that you hold the power in yourself as well. And if you pave the way and you open your roads and you make sure that the path to you is clear, if you call for your blessings, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.